This is VSiN's Bet the W. Here is your host, Danielle Albari.
Welcome into Bet the W. I'm your host, Danielle Albari, and I'm sad to report I am full-blown sick now. I thought I was getting sick in Monday's show, and I definitely have a cold now. But fortunately, Calvin Wetzel is here to save the day and kind of hold down the fort for us. Calvin, how are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm glad that it's not contagious through the camera or whatever, but we were texting off air. Danielle is about to go 8-0, 4-0 on spreads, 4-0 on totals, because she's about to have the flu game. So anyone who's listening, this is the time more than ever to listen to Danielle's picks.
Oh, geez. It's either fade or go all in with me for sure on this one. But I'm going to let Calvin take the lead on a lot of this and really try to actively not cough on this podcast, because that's good for nobody. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. But it does sound good that we have four games going on Thursday. Before we get into it, I have questions for you, Calvin. Are you ready?
These are not burning questions.
These are like lukewarm questions.
Okay.
Let's talk about the only team that's been able to beat both the Las Vegas Aces and the New York Liberty, the Dallas Wings. People are starting to overreact. Are the Wings taking flight? What are we seeing happen here with Dallas?
It's Road Dog Dallas. We've talked about it on the show. Road Dog Dallas is so good. They were Road Dogs again today as we're recording this on whatever. What's today? Wednesday? Yeah. Whatever day today is. I think they're 5-2. You can check me on this against the spread as road dogs this year. And they've done this for like three straight years now. So yes, they are, but I'm still not sure if I trust them at home, which sounds so opposite. But you know what they're going to be in the playoffs is road dogs. So this team could really give some people some trouble in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's weird because going into that Aces matchup that they didn't win the first game in Las Vegas, I believe, but won in Dallas. Is that correct? And going into
covered
the first
both,
round,
covered both.
Yeah, absolutely. It was on the Wings for both of those. And going into that, I was looking at it and was like, oh, I don't really have any past to look at of how these have matched up necessarily, because it was the first time this season. But I remember thinking they have the size and the athleticism to compete with the Aces. And I don't think that's true for a lot of teams in this league. So they surprised us. They came out, they beat these top two teams. So maybe there's something there. But do you think that people are right in saying that this could be a team that we see in the WNBA finals?
Ooh.
Too much, right? A little overreaction.
Too far. Okay. I could see them winning a first round series. I could see them making the semis. I think outside of your like top tier, I think the Dream, who we'll talk about maybe in the Wings, are those teams who could maybe sort of pull a first round upset. But I don't know about the finals, because in that first round, you got to win 2 out of 3. To make the finals, you got to beat someone 3 out of 5. And we've seen them beat the Aces. We've seen them beat the Liberty. But are they going to do it 3 times in 5 games? I'm not sure if they're there yet. So I'm not going to go that far.
I agree. I think that it's very much appropriate that the Aces are favored as much as they are, as much as it's egregious. They're almost at minus 400, it feels like, in some spots to win the championship. But they are head and shoulders above everybody else, and I like your point of it's a 5-game series, and even if there's teams who can take 1 or 2 games here, it's a whole different thing to win the series. So I think it's exciting, but let's not overreact. Let's not overreact. Also, in that same vein of overreaction, I might be overreacting here. Should we be worried about the New York Liberty?
I think so. I think we have to, partly just because the Aces have been even more historically dominant than we probably even realized, that we all knew they were going to be good. But also the Liberty defense has looked really suspect. And I don't think anyone was surprised to see them kind of take a while in the first few weeks with some of the preseason injuries they had and the new pieces kind of taking time to click. But it's the second half of the season now. Like, you've had 2+ months. If you're still allowing 100 points on your own floor to anybody, let alone a team, you know, other than the Aces or the Sun, like, it's past time for that defense to shore up better than that. So I would be hitting the panic button a little bit if I were a Liberty fan. Yes, I do still think they're going to make the finals, but in terms of competing with the Aces, they got to clean up a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm looking for a quote that Miles Ehrlich tweeted out earlier from Breanna Stewart. I can't find the exact quote here, but Breanna Stewart basically said something along the lines of not overreacting to the loss, right? And I think that that might be the issue here with the Liberty. I don't think they're concerned enough about where they're at. I think Brianna Stewart's looked incredible. There's a reason she's the heavy favorite to be MVP right now, but I think she should be more worried about what's going on with this team. I think we should be reacting.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that the same way about not overreacting when they lost their first game of the season, sure. Even though it was by double digits. But at this point, they've lost five times. They've had 2 1-point wins, 2 overtime wins. Mm-hmm. They could easily have 6 or 7 losses. It's starting to pile up. So yeah. It's time. I think we should be reacting a little bit to them.
Yeah, I think I'm more concerned than Brianna Stewart right now, and that makes me nervous. But the Jonquil Jones experiment is also not necessarily going as well as we thought it might, even though I think when she was added to this as kind of this rounding out this trio that came over to New York, I didn't necessarily understand how that was going to fit together, and I think we're still waiting to see how that's going to shake out.
Yeah, you know, I hate it, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but I'm not sure that we are ever going to see 2021 Jonquil Jones again. I think that may have been her peak, and that may be behind her. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see, because I think that's sort of the X factor. If she can get back to MVP JJ, the Liberty are going to be in business, and maybe they can compete with the Aces. Because we've seen Brianna Stewart play at MVP level. We've seen what Sabrina Ionescu can do in more of a two-guard role, shooting the three ball. Obviously, Sloot is still Sloot with all the dimes, but I think JJ is sort of that X factor that is maybe not living up to what we necessarily thought.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we thought 2 MVPs on this team, and that was going to be the reason that we had 2 super teams here, 2 MVPs on both of these teams, and I don't know if that's the case. Last note here before we actually look at the 4 games on Thursday. Are the Mercury going to start winning games now? Have they just decided to start winning games? What is going on? Because they just beat the Connecticut Sun, and I really poor shooting night from Connecticut. I don't expect that to continue from them, but the Mercury come out and win at home. Are they going to start winning now? Because this was a team that I said before the break, good roster, good starters. Why are they not winning games?
Yeah, well, they shouldn't, because the draft classes in the next year or two are loaded. But although I think 2 years from now there's a pick swap, so I don't even know if they'll have their own pick, but they might, they could. I think Nikki Blue, their new head coach, has really sort of infused a little bit of life into them. I think even before the break, they were playing a little bit better, even mm-hmm. in some of their losses. So yeah, it's possible. I mean, they're at the point at this point where they could probably win a few games and still end up in the lottery. But mm-hmm. if you're a Mercury fan, I'm not sure if it's good to see them competitive or not, but they are looking competitive.
Depends if you're playing the long game or not.
Exactly.
Are you playing the long game or the short game, pretty much? And we are trying to play the long game as fans and as bettors here, but I get that it's not fun to watch your team lose either, especially a team that's been as historically good as the Mercury have been, but it might be in their best interest to not win games. We'll see. They are playing Thursday, but let's start with the Atlanta Dream at the Connecticut Sun. The Sun laying 7. At the time of the opening lines that we saw here, which I'm interested to see if this is moved, because I want to take the points with the Dream here. What do you want to do?
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. It's the Dream continued their momentum coming in. They were the hottest team in the league coming into the All-Star break, and they picked up mm-hmm. right where they left off, outside of sort of a rough stretch where they let the Lynx yesterday cut it from 20 to like 1 or yeah. 2 points, and then they ended up winning by 9 still and covering. And the Sun, like you said, lost to the Mercury, total opposite, came out of the break completely flat. Both mm-hmm. these teams have to travel, and this is a really early game, so this is another one of those camp day games, so it'll be interesting to see how they both come out. But the Sun especially, traveling from Phoenix to Connecticut back home, it's a home game, but is it really a home game, because they still mm-hmm. are on a short travel day turning around for an early game, so I don't know if they'll be as rested as normal, which is another factor. So at this point, I'm almost just betting the Dream in every game until they don't cover, because they've been cover machines for like 2 weeks now.
Yes, and I wrote in my article on Monday that I couldn't back them in that spot, just because it got up to 6.5, almost 7 before the game on Monday, the game on Tuesday, it got bet up to that. And so I liked Dream at like 5.5. And I said, I didn't really trust them to cover much more than that, even at home. And they did make it dicey at the end there. They did end up covering, but they just make you really sweat. Atlanta makes you work for it for sure. But I think you're getting 7 points here. And yes, the Sun trying to come back off of an abysmal shooting performance, really. Shot 34% versus the Mercury, and not much else looked off here. It's not like the Mercury had a bunch of steals or the Sun had a bunch more turnovers. There was nothing crazy going on here, just the Sun not shooting well. So if they can correct that, and obviously back at home that helps. You mentioned the travel. I still think the Dream, it's getting 7 points is too much here. I already see it down to 6.5 in some spots. What would you take the Dream at? Like, where would be your cutoff point?
Probably 5.5, I would say. Yeah. This isn't one that I would like smash hard up to one possession or anything, but because I think books are starting to adjust a little bit, but they haven't gone quite far enough, so I'd probably take it at least another point.
Yeah, I like, I'm seeing a 6.5. I would take Dream plus 6.5. I think you're right. I think 5.5 is where it would get sticky for me. Total, though, I thought I saw this at 165.5. Now I'm seeing 167.5. Do you think this is being bet up at all? Do you think this is appropriate?
Yes, I do. I would have this upper 160s or around 170, maybe 169.5. So it makes sense to me that it's being bet up. I think it'll keep going up. And yeah, I love this over.
Yeah, I think this is a spot where, again, we saw a 72-66 road loss to the Mercury for the Sun. And so maybe you're getting a better deal on this total a little bit. It's a little bit lower than we would expect to see for a game, especially versus the Dream. I hate betting overs. I probably won't bet this one just because what if the Sun have another poor shooting night? What if they do? You know, they could. But I do like this Dream bet here. Let's move on to the next game. The Sparks at the Lynx. I saw this on the schedule and thought, oh no. I just thought, what am I going to do with this game? And lo and behold, it's Sparks -1 on the road. I already see this bet up to 2.5 in favor of the Lynx here. So it's flipped back over. So you can see we basically have this really depleted, just injury riddled, illness riddled Sparks team. And then you have the Minnesota Lynx on the other side, who have performed well at times. And like you said, were able to surge back at the end of that Atlanta game just recently. The Lynx are so tough for me because I think they have the talent to cover games, not necessarily win games. And again, probably not in their best interest to win games. But the Sparks just completely destroyed it. Now, one bright spot, though, Lexi Brown. She practiced on Tuesday. She hopes to suit up for Thursday. She's day-to-day. She's questionable. So maybe getting Lexi Brown back.
Yeah, and the Sparks could really use her because she was a huge key to the offense, averaging like 14, 15 points a game on elite shooting numbers before she went down or before that illness. So I think if she's back, like, this definitely changes the game. But that being said, well, I'll say this. So it's at 2.5 now in favor of the Lynx. I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Even if Lexi Brown plays. So if she's out, I would probably go bet on the Lynx before it moves even further. When the Lynx opened, like you said, at +1 as underdogs, I was very surprised. Even with Lexi Brown questionable.
Oh, I wanted Lynx money line.
I was very surprised that Lynx, because the Lynx are home. I don't know why the Lynx opened as home dogs, but that didn't last very long. Yeah, Lynx money line would have been great. I would still take it at this point. But it's not a smash, and especially I would probably monitor the injury report, because if Lexi Brown is back, I think this is a pretty good line.
Yeah, I'm seeing Lynx now 1.5, 2, 2.5. So we've seen that complete movement back to the other side. So everybody responding the way we did, which is why are the Sparks favored in this? But Lexi Brown coming back is at least exciting to see. A total of 162, bet down to 161.5 even at some spots. Kind of a low total as far as this year has been.
Yeah, that's another one where that's about right where I have it. But Lexi Brown, I think if she plays, could also sort of move the needle on this one because of her shooting ability. I think we've seen the Sparks offense just look totally different with and without her on the court. So if she's playing, I would take an over here if you see that injury news drop and you're able to get this before it moves. But at the moment, this is probably another one sort of like stay away or wait and monitor the movement.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of where I'm at as well. There's nothing like exciting for me on either side here. I, of course, always like to lean under, but this is a pretty low total. And I just think the Lynx can get this done at home. I think they're going to bounce back after that Dream loss. The Sky. Oh, the Sky. The Sky are at the Mercury, and they are favored by 2. That's still the line here. 159.5 was the opening total, already bet down to 157. We want to talk about low totals. This one's even lower. Chicago's lost and failed to cover 3 straight games. All 3 games hit the under, which is more so their offense's fault than the opponents they were playing, because I believe they played the Dream twice and still hit unders. Phoenix just beat the Connecticut Sun, 72-66. That was at home. Phoenix is at home again. What do we think we see here, and why is Chicago favored?
I also have that question. This is another one where I was surprised who was favored, because
Yes.
Phoenix, like I said, is playing better. They are home. I would have them favored probably by about this amount, just a little bit, 1, 1.5, 2. And I also, you mentioned how low this total is, and it's already dropped 2.5 points. I think it's going to keep dropping. I don't think this is low enough. Danielle, do you have in front of you what is the lowest total of the season this
On
year? I
record
want to
this
say the
season?
Mystics had a couple games in the mid-150s.
Yeah, I want to say there was
154,
like a
155.
154. I think there was a 154 on
Yeah.
record.
Okay. Because I think this one has a chance to close as the lowest total of the season. And if it doesn't,
Wow.
I think that's incorrect. I think it should. I think this should close because Vanna Taurasi is out too. And I think she moves the total
Right,
down
she left.
probably 2.5 or 3 points just herself because she still can hit shots. She still can help you on offense. She's not guarding anyone.
Yeah.
So your offense gets worse and your defense gets better without
Right.
Diana Taurasi on the court. This is already a matchup that should have a low total. And I think you move it down even further for that. I would probably still take this if it ends up hitting 154 and a half.
Yeah, okay. Under? You would go under 154 and a half?
I would. It's crazy, but I would. I would.
That is crazy. I'm gonna have to mull that over. I'm not sure if I'm with you on that just because crazier things have happened. But you're right. Diana Taurasi out. She exited Tuesday's game versus the Sun with about 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Left hamstring injury that goes back for her too. Literally, she had a back injury years ago and was dealing with hamstring issues ever since then. So this is not something new for her that she's dealing with. But it makes me sad because I'm on 10,000 point watch and she's 71 points away from her 10,000th point. And obviously, this is going to put a little wrench in the mix. So there was a time when LeBron was getting ready to, take the scoring record, and people were betting on what game it was going to be. And I wish we had this for Diana Taurasi, was what game is she going to do it in? And especially now, because you have the monkey wrench of now she's injured. When is she going to be back in? Trivia though, I have trivia for Calvin, so I wanted to see if he could guess this: the top 10 scoring
Ooh.
list all time. Okay, and again, I think this is actually very hard. So like, do not be hard on Calvin here, and everyone can play along as well. So second on the all-time scoring list behind Diana Taurasi, who already is the leading scorer, Tina Thompson, right? There's two other players on this top 10 all-time scoring list that are current. They're active. Do you know who the active players are that are on the top 10 scoring list right now?
Are you counting Tina Charles as active or no?
I'm not counting Tina.
Okay.
She's not
Okay,
playing
because
this year, so
she hasn't officially
that's but
retired.
she's on there. That's good,
But
yeah.
she is on there. I know that. I know Candace Parker is on there.
Nailed it.
I want to say number 8 or 9.
She's eighth and Candace Parker. Okay, not even difficult for Calvin. Look at this.
Well, the other one, I gotta think about the other one
I
a
was
little bit.
surprised by this one. It's the ninth spot on the list.
It's ninth?
Ninth, right behind Candace.
Oh, so Candace is eighth now. Candace. Oh, Dawana Bonner?
It's Dawana Bonner.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see
There you
that.
go.
I don't put enough respect on Dawana's name. Like, she
Yeah,
dropped
and
a
she's still
40-piece game
balling. She's
earlier
still
this
averaging
year.
like 19.
Please. Unbelievable. Dawana's like my favorite, or she was, not so much this year, like especially last year, end of last year, start of this year, like favorite points prop to play because it was never really high enough and now they're starting to catch up to her. But yeah, Diana Taurasi, 71 points away from scoring 10,000 points, but a little bit of a hiccup with the hamstring. And so maybe that's why we're seeing Chicago favored here. I still think that's crazy. Chicago laying points on the road. I don't know. But this Phoenix offense, I mean, again, only scored what, 72 points versus the Sun? Just bad showing coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, to be honest, like no shade to Diana Taurasi, who is a legend, but I don't think her being out should actually move the spread anymore. I
I
think it
agree.
just moves your offense and your defense in opposite directions the same amount in
Maybe it affects
terms
the
of total
total more
points.
than anything. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It moves the total down. I don't think it moves the
Yeah.
spread.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think she's
We hope Diana
at
didn't
that
hurt you.
level
Yeah.
anymore at 41. But I am surprised as someone who loves unders and loves defense that you're a little bit nervous about this
154?
under here with me, huh? At least as far down as
154?
154 and
Someone could sneeze and foul somebody at the end, and then you get like a 156. Like, this
a
is so, it'd be so dicey, but
It's a great
154 and a
point.
half.
It's a great point. We lose
Yeah, I
those all the
mean,
time.
yeah. I could get in on an under here, maybe at 157 and a half. I'm gonna have to look at it closer. What do you think's happened to the sky here? Just wheels fall off, the coach left, everything's just, the sky's falling.
Yeah, basically, which is tough because they traded all their picks. So it, unlike what we talked about with the Mercury and whoever else, it doesn't actually really benefit the Sky a whole lot to lose the way they are. But you're right. They are on the opposite end of the spectrum right now as some of these teams we've talked about, the Wings and the Dream, going in the wrong direction. Mercury are starting to go in the right direction. So very surprised the Sky are road favorites here.
And to your point about the total, haven't scored more than 77 points in their last three games. And, you know, two of those were against Atlanta, which is not a stellar defense. So not a lot of promise for this Sky team right now, but still have Clea Copper. So you have that option. One last thing, by the way, my favorite thing about the Sun right now, the Mercury that I've completely forgot about. Pancake? Do you know about Pancake, the WNBA corgi?
Yes. Yes. Megan Pancake Gustafson. Yeah.
Yes. The best part. The best part of the Phoenix Mercury I completely forgot about, but popped up on my Twitter feed the other day. Yes. And I was like, oh, God, I want a corgi so bad. But best player, the best, most important part of the Mercury. Just had to shout out Pancake. Let's move on to the Aces at the Storm. This is the last game. The later game, I'm sure you're going to stay up late for. This is 10 p.m.
Always.
Eastern time. But are you Central? So it'll be 9 p.m. for you. Crazy.
Yep.
Aces Storm, West Coast battle here. This used to be a really good battle, right? When Brianna Stewart was with the Storm and Sue Bird. Not the case anymore. The Aces laying 17.5. Total of 169. A low total for an Aces game. Not in the 170s. What do you think?
Yeah, so I was listening to you with, I believe it was Danny on here, saying that you wouldn't take any spread. This was the last time the Aces had a spread of 17.5, and you didn't want to take anything above 13.5 just because of how weird it gets and garbage time and blowouts. And so the Aces covered that game. They covered in the first half. I don't think this is high enough. Again, I think it should be 20, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts as someone who hates these really high spreads. If you're going to be pivoting to the first half or something like that, because I think that's a great look too. And this is, I almost feel the same way as you in terms of those high spreads with these high toe out, high totals in possible blowouts where like, you're right. This feels like Aces total being in the 160s, especially against a team that doesn't play any defense like the Storm, feels kind of low, and I would lean over. I think this should be in the 170s, but I also get really nervous taking the overs in a game that could be a blowout because, again, especially with the Aces, you see the bench come in, start laying bricks. Fourth quarter ends up being like 13 to 10. Who knows? So I would be nervous, but if I had to pick a lean on this one, I would definitely still lean over and put it in the 170s.
Yeah, I mean, the first game of the season, we saw this massive blowout, right, where the Aces got the over basically themselves, scored 105 points to Seattle's 64. And so Seattle obviously not covering a 13.5 point spread. And then most recently played in Vegas, and Seattle lost by 36. Is this right? Like, did not cover as an 18 point dog. So I think you can lay 17.5 here just because I don't like to. It's not fun for me to be like, hey, are the Aces winning by 20? Like, nice. Like, I get it. It's not my favorite bet to make, but that's the side I would be on here. There's no reason to take Seattle at plus 17.5 outside of it seeming like that's a lot of points. But no, the Aces have blown them out both times they played this season. They're doing it again here. They're in Seattle this time at least. That total's tricky because, again, that last game, 96-63, under 168.5, and that was, again, Seattle not contributing a lot of points. So it really just comes and goes with the Aces on the total, which is why I would lean towards an under here, but why would you want to? So side for me would be Aces, if anything, and maybe a first half is more palatable.
Yeah, I definitely, if I'm playing the spread, would probably put more on the first half than the full game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Dano will hammer them both, friend of the pod. He loves these big spreads, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'll hit this total or not. We'll see. Cause both of those, matchups that you mentioned, I believe were under this, right? We had a 169 and a 159. Is that right? In the two matchups?
The first one of the season, the first game of the season on May 20th was 167.5. And it did go over because of the Aces scoring 105 points.
So was it at 169?
Yeah. So just barely. Yeah.
So it went over that total under this one. So,
yeah.
So right at it. They actually have, I don't believe these two teams have scored 170 yet, but because the Storm don't score enough in these matchups.
Yeah, exactly. I do wonder if there's going to be anything weird coming out of the All-Star break, because I feel like the first games we've seen so far have looked a little bit weird for some of these teams. But outside of that, like, Aces should cover here. lean under, and that's more just because of the Storm struggling to score here.
Yeah, well, it probably does help the Aces. I guess it helps the Storm too, so I don't know, if it might be a wash, but the fact that this game is going to be happening on Thursday, the All-Star game was Saturday, mm-hmm. so you're talking about almost a week mm-hmm. where some of those teams played like 2 days after the All-Star game, but these two teams had a little bit more time off, so I wouldn't necessarily expect a huge All-Star hangover, but who knows? It's really hard to predict.
Well, one last tie back to the All-Star game. Jewel Lloyd won MVP, obviously, at the All-Star game. Incredible shooting performance from her. And going for a season scoring record, is there an angle that we can play there?
Yeah, well, that and Danny Barlavi, who we mentioned, who you had on, mm-hmm. did some research into past All-Star MVPs. So shout out Danny, who found that a lot of All-Star MVPs play really, really well in their next game. That's like a springboard. Mm-hmm. So going back to like Maya Moore, I think mm-hmm. she won three in a row, and one of them she didn't do that well, but the other two she did. Going back to like Arike a couple years ago. So yeah, especially against an up-tempo team like the Aces in a game that's mm-hmm. going to have a really high total, I would probably look for a Jewel Lloyd over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see it. We don't have that number yet, but I'm sure it'll be appropriately high. But there's no reason not to bet it because, again, that's pretty much their offense right now. We don't have those up yet. We have some first field goals populating for Sky and Mercury, at least. Brittany Griner at 3-1. Can I interest you in that, Calvin?
Wow, we have those already? It's 7:30 yeah. the night before.
Sky
and
Mercury?
Plus 300, you said?
Plus 300, we got Kalia Copper at plus 550, Mabry at plus 650, and Michaela Onyewede at 7-1.
Well, I always like BG, and I love yeah. Copper, too. Copper is yeah. probably the best first basket guard in the league, because you see a lot of teams mm-hmm. like establish the post or whatever, you know, go to BG, go to Asia, whoever it is. But the Sky love to go to Kalia Copper first, so plus 550 is great there.
Yeah, I think so too. And if you want a little Brittany Griner action too, 3-1, why not? So good first basket options. How's that been going overall for you this season?
It's been going well.
Okay, so join Calvin on this train. Do you have a win of the week that you want to share with us, Calvin, before we go?
Yeah, I got another simple one. You know me. Yay. I'm enjoying the simple things in life. I made some holiday cookies the other day, even though it's July.
It's July.
I had them since December, and I had like mix, you know, with like green and, and red M&Ms,
not old cookies.
And it was sitting there. And the other day I was like, you know what? It's time to make these. So I made them, and I had Christmas cookies, and they were delicious. And I don't bake
Christmas
very often.
Christmas in July.
As you can tell, because I had Christmas cookie mix sitting in my house for 6 months.
Yeah.
So that was a win. Me baking and enjoying delicious treats was a win, Danielle.
I'm just going to say, it's like makes me a little worried as a friend. And I know it's just because we had a week off and you didn't have a lot to handicap. But I'm happy that you got to have a little Christmas in July. I'm glad more than anything the W is back to take your attention back away from baking. I think that's good for everybody involved.
This is what I do when we don't have the WNBA. I make Christmas cookies in July.
Pretty much. My win of the week, I'm going to just stick with that Jewel Lloyd MVP. That was fun to see happen. And I mean, I'm sick right now. I'm taking the wins when I can. So that's a win. We'll count that. And we'll look forward to more wins, hopefully on Thursday. Obviously, we'll be back next week as well to break down more of these games. Make sure you follow About the W Show on Twitter. Follow Calvin on Twitter at CWetzel31. If you can rate the pod too, let's do that. Because I realized that Pancake from the Mercury, the Corgi, the WNBA Corgi, she has like way more followers than Bet the W does. So we're just lagging behind. We're falling behind. And also the pod that I saw on Spotify had like 3 ratings. So we're looking for 10. 10 would be great. Let's get to
I'm one of the three.
So Calvin's doing his part. Calvin's doing his part. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you as well. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much for watching Bet the W.